This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Henry in motion on first down, off the play fake. Mays setting up. He'll check it down, and it's intercepted. T.J. Edwards with the toe tap on the sideline. His first pick of the year.
This is one of the things when you watch the young quarterbacks. I think the big thing is how do you not see T.J. Edwards? There's your play fake. Eyes are back downfield. He's right there. He's underneath your receiver.
Live from Jared Payton's flagship on the Fox in St. Charles, we're back with more of the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's gonna be great. Presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Brought to you in part by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be.
Welcome back to the postgame show. I'm David Hall in for Mully, Patrick Manley, Olin Krutz. We'll be here for another hour of football therapy, so feel free to call 312-644-6767. We are at the flagship on the Fox in St. Charles, and Jarrett Payton is in the house. So if you want to catch Jarrett, he is here to he'll talk to you, he'll commiserate with you, and he'll talk you off the ledge a little bit.
I think we just give him the microphone for the next hour.
I would love that. I think people would be entertained.
Yep.
He also can dance.
Oh, he also can dance. Yeah, we're on Twitch or whatever here.
Yeah, so we're on Twitch.
Yeah, okay.
We have an audience.
That is a big assumption.
So, I have seen him dance, Olin. I know that
he can
do it.
All right.
He can back it up.
Listen, keep your secrets
to
yourself.
Was this Vegas? Was this when you guys were in Vegas?
Yeah, I don't remember Vegas. I don't remember Vegas that. All right, we did hear from Matt Eberflus after the 19-3 loss by the Bears to the Patriots. And he walked off the field and people were chanting, "Fire Flusy." And he was asked post-game about that and about a lot of other things, changes that he might consider. This is Matt Eberflus post-game at Soldier Field after the 19-3 loss to the New England Patriots.
Okay, start with injuries. Tevin Jenkins ruled out with the right ankle. We'll see where that is. Moore was concussion protocol. And then Nate Davis came in this morning, as you guys saw, and had back. His back tightened up on him. He saw Andre, the trainer, before the game. Andre ruled him out, and then we sent him home because we don't want a guy standing on 2 feet with a back issue. So this game right here, obviously, as the head football coach, all disappointed, accepting accountability, for everything. And then really just looking inward at myself first. And that's what I asked the players to do, too, and the coaches. We got to take a good hard look at everything that we're doing and play good complementary football. I thought we started the game out solid, in terms of having some momentum there with the big return, with the interception and those types of things. And we have to do a good job of capitalizing on those to create momentum early. And the great thing I told the players is that I said that we have evidence on tape of doing that. It'd be different if you didn't have any evidence. We have evidence of that. And it's the same guys in the room, same guys in the circle. So it's important that we find a way to get that done. And the only way to get that done is pulling together. It's not about pulling apart. and there's going to be a bunch of outside noise, as we know. And I told him that. I said, but you know what we have to do? We have to pull together to find the answers, because we have all the answers that we need in the room. And we have evidence that on tape and in games, playing great complimentary football, playing with great passion this year. And that's the one thing to look forward to. But again, we got to take a hard look, inward look, accept accountability, and then be accountable to the guy to the right and to the guy to the left. And that's how you do this thing. When you have adversity like this, that's how you pull together, and that's the only answer you can have. But again, like I said, I'll take full responsibility for it.
Matt, when you talk about accountability and responsibility, what in a performance like this, what specifically are you accountable for that should have been better?
The whole thing, right? The operation of it, offense, defense, kicking, you know, that's the job of the head coach. And so to me, that's accountability for everything.
How do you defend your work as head coach when it looks this bad?
Well, I would just say that. I would just go back to we have the men in the room, and we have evidence on tape of doing it. You know, we've played some good complementary games in terms of offense, defense, and kicking, and we've, you know, scored points, you know, a few games in a row, you know, and done a good job of that. You know, so we have to find the winning way and our winning formula to get that done.
The offense can't consistently find ways to play complementary football. The team just won't win games. Ultimately, you're going to be held accountable to that, perhaps maybe even to the point of termination. Coach, my question to you is, are you willing to be fired without ever exploring the possibility that the offense could be better with better offensive game planning and play calling by changing the coordinator?
Yeah, like I said, we'll look at everything. I think it's look from everything from the top to the bottom and making sure that we're finding the answers to move the ball on the field, you know, play better as a football team on offense, defense, and special teams.
Changing offensive play caller is on the table this week?
I just said we're looking at everything. Everything's going to be looked at.
How do you explain the offensive ineptitude of today?
Yeah, you know, again, we'll go back and look. Again, there were several things. Protection was broken down a little bit. You know, in terms of the route disciplines, all those things. It's always everybody, right? It's always everybody. When you give up 9 sacks, obviously that's something that you don't want to have happen. But again, that's an everybody thing. That's rhythm and timing of the quarterback. That's protection of the offensive line. That's route disciplines of the guys running the routes. It's all that. It's all that at the same time. So it's an everybody thing.
Matt, is there a risk if there aren't changes made tomorrow to show tangible change that you could lose the locker room?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I do believe in those guys. They have faith in us working together. I believe in our football team. I believe in the leaders in the football team. And, you know, we'll just have to get back to work.
You guys were in an unusual situation this year where you had the number one overall pick, but you also had a roster that was built to win right away. Do you worry that what has happened the last couple of weeks has the potential that you're damaged to Caleb beyond this year? I mean, getting quarterback sacked 9 times, going through some of these struggles with the expectations, do you have to make sure that you keep him on the same trajectory that you want him to?
Yeah, Caleb's strong. He's strong inside. He's strong outside. He's a strong individual, and he's been through adversity. And he knows how to do this. He knows how to get through adversity by pulling together. And, you know, and we got to pull together with everybody else, you know, too. You know, so it's important that we get that done moving forward.
Now, the results where they are, why do you believe this locker room is still invested in believing?
Yeah, I just know the men in the room. I know the men there. I know how they work during practice. I know those guys. You know, I've built tight relationships with those guys, and they're going to work and pull together to get this thing done.
That was Matt Eberflus post-game after the 19-3 loss, the worst loss of the Bears' season a few minutes ago at Soldier Field. Guys, the two things that stood out to me were, number one, he's taking responsibility for the whole thing, as every head coach in the NFL knows he has to. And the second thing to me that stood out was, for people who might be wondering, Caleb Strong. Caleb Williams, this season is about his development. Mm-hmm. You want to be ideally headed somewhere at the end of his rookie season. I do believe Caleb Strong, and I do believe that Matt Eberflus is responsible for everything and will be held accountable for that. What was your reaction to what he said?
I did like the fact he said, I take full responsibility. I just, it's the first time he's been clear and concise about something, when something has come up where it's been an issue. And that is, like, just this, it's simple. He should have been doing this from day one when he got here, is taking any issue and just simplify it, just give the proper words to it and just make it go away. The other one is he said there's going to be a lot of outside noise. Of course there is. Right. But the problem is a lot of this outside noise has been coming from the inside. Mm-hmm. And that needs to stop.
The calls are coming from within the house.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, on podcast, in the media, from the locker room. So, okay, you can talk about the outside noise.
Right.
But the outside noise has been resonating because of the inside. It's been coming from
this
there.
This is not a media creation.
So this is not – no, it is not a media creation. They did in the media themselves.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. So, yeah, that's the two things I saw is that – okay, there's going to be outside noise. How do they deal with it inside? Mm-hmm. If I'm them, if Olin, I guarantee you would say, like, guys, stop talking. Simplify your message. Let's take care of this stuff in-house. If you got a podcast, you got to talk to Mullen Hall in the morning. Just give the message. Don't speak too much. Just kind of be quiet and give the general answers. Make their job hard. Let's get this thing thing righted. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
And it's just they've created the noise.
They have. They have. And when I'm listening to him talk, there's always this thing in leadership that you can be too late and then you're catching up. And that's what it sounds like to me. When you lose credibility and you're trying to catch up, and then sometimes when you do that, you keep losing credibility along the way. Because then you start taking responsibility for the things you shouldn't. Right? Like that blitz last week at the end of the half. Mm-hmm. He shouldn't take responsibility for
it.
His players screwed during that. I just hear a guy who's like, okay, it starts with me. Well, you're 2.5-3 weeks too late, right? When something melted down. So now they're trying to catch up. They're trying to put all of this back on the train. They're trying to put the train back on its tracks, Pat, right? And they have a young quarterback who is struggling, right? If you go back to the second play of the game. I know everyone's saying the O-line's bad, and everyone's talking about how he held the ball for 6 seconds and got sacked on a play-action pass where there was a check down for him. And then what happened on the third down right after that? Romo Dunze dropped the ball, right? So there are not a lot of guys playing good football right now at Halas Hall. So we talked about last week. Everyone can take their blame, right? Everyone can talk about themselves and what they need to do better. That's where they need to start. As simple as that sounds, as cliche as that sounds.
Brings us to Who's Hot and Who's Cold, sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency, call the professionals, available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. Who's cold is easy, and I think you just alluded to it, Olin. Caleb Williams, 16 for 30, 120 yards, 63.2 passer rating. Did not turn the ball over, but big deal. Did not threaten anybody down the field and was sacked 9 times. Through no fault of his own necessarily, the first 2 sacks might have been on him, so he's definitely cold. Who's hot? Nobody's hot. So let's say the hottest thing about the Bears right now are the seats at Halas Hall. They belong to Shane Waldron, number one.
The fans are hot.
All right, the fans are hot.
Yeah.
I like that. The fans are hot.
Yep. Yeah.
So let's give it to the fan base, because whether they're chanting fire Flusie or fire Waldron, they want some results. They want some accountability, and I think you understand that. So that is Who's Hot and Who's Cold, sponsored by Plumbers 911. Let's go back to the phone lines, 312-644-6767. Preston is in Naperville. Preston, welcome to The Score.
How's it going, guys? Thanks for taking my call. Obviously, you know, this is pretty as rock bottom as it gets. I fear the next week could get even worse, and prides of Bears fans could get ripped off their chest next week. But I'm a pretty young Bears fan. I've seen too many incomprehensible losses. I didn't think that for back-to-back weeks I'd have to turn the TV off. But in 10 weeks, I don't know why we have so many pre-snap penalties. I don't know why Keenan Allen doesn't know to block for DJ Moore when we give him a pass -2 yards behind the line of scrimmage. We've had 4 head coaches since 2013. Pittsburgh's had 3 since 1969. This starts up top. And although Flus is a little too late on taking responsibility, this could get a lot worse. And we're on the verge of ruining our third first round quarterback in 8 years. And I'm not sure where you go. I mean, New Aldrin's got Caleb Williams rolling up to the left and to the right, cutting half the field in the fourth quarter. These concepts are not getting guys open, and on third down, guys would get cover zero, you know, they're blitzing the box, and we still haven't adjusted to that. We're getting him killed just like we did Justin Fields in his first game against the Browns when he got sacked for nearly 8 times. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Preston. Good points. Excellent phone call. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I'm there yet, guys. Let me hear what you have to say. I think that it's not trending in the right direction for Caleb Williams. There has been now a 3-game regression, but are they ruining him? Do you fear that's happening? I think I see Pat's face saying maybe yes.
Well, I'm a little scared of that, right? I mean, the O-line is going to be banged up from now on, and this season we went into it wanting to see the progress of Caleb. And we got excited there for 3 weeks. We keep going back to that point. And I'm seeing a little regression. Mm-hmm. He's not throwing to the open receivers. He looks skittish in the pocket. It's not going to be helped in front for the next few weeks unless the two tackles come back. Hopefully they do. Then hopefully they don't have major injuries and they come back. That'll help a lot. But I am a little nervous about that. I think right now where you stand, playoffs are out of the picture, right, with what's coming forward. It's about Caleb Williams' development. And how do you get him moving forward and not hurt him for next year?
Yeah, and I think we'll see Braxton back next week. I think he was close this week. I think we'll see Braxton back next week, which will help the offensive line, right? Which just getting a guy back in the mix. Now you have Barham as swing tackle. It just gives you another body. But as far as Caleb goes, Pat, we were talking about earlier, talking about the progression with an NFL player, period. And then talk about the quarterback, which is the hardest position on the field. That is a hard position to play football at. I know just as a center, you put on film what you are. You put on film what you're good at, what you're bad at. And then you'll see what you're bad at every day of the week. And I think he put on film in those where they were scoring the points, what he was really good at. And then someone went and took that away. Right? And now they're taking it away. And he's going through this time, which we all have to go through in the NFL. And Shane, rightly so, everybody questions Shane Waldron, Kerry Joseph, and the offensive coaches who have to help him get through it. But Caleb has to go in the room, and his offensive line isn't very good. I know that. But he was brought here to be a multiplier. Mm-hmm. He was brought here to make everybody better. And that second play of the game, I'll keep going back to it. Give DJ a chance. Put it on his outside shoulder. He's one-on-one. He's a $110 million wide receiver. Throw the ball up. Throw it outside the numbers. And make it, only he can catch it or the ball goes out of bounds.
But that's the other problem real quick is he's missing his receivers. You know what I mean? He's also overthrowing.
That lack of accuracy is something that I did not expect.
That scares me.
I really have not seen at USC.
No,
and you didn't, that's
the 50-50 ball is not. It's 70-30 going to be incomplete because he's going to overthrow it.
It's a heck of a time to begin being erratic.
Yes,
and but you know it's coming, right? You know it's coming for a young quarterback. You just do. It just is going to happen where you have this where you're like, man, this guy is great, and then you struggle.
Yeah,
and you didn't want the struggle to come against bad teams,
right?
Because the good teams are coming. But here's the thing. Can you watch your film? Can he do the things he's got to do to take the next step?
Now, before we get back to the phone lines, I want to ask you this because this question will come up this week, and I'm sure you'll be asked about it this week in various appearances. As bad as it is right now, and it's pretty bad, 3 straight losses, 4-5, and the teeth of the schedule coming up. If they find a way, the way people can find a way, to beat the Packers, to beat Matt LaFleur, something they have not done since he took over as the head coach. Next Sunday, post-game, after Bears-Packers, the national game of the week, are you feeling how different about this season, about this team, if they can find a way to do the impossible?
Yeah, and that's why you try not to write them off.
Right.
You're trying to look at those 3 wins they had and say, okay, they did score to take the lead against the Commanders. They did have the lead with 20 seconds left, right? They did melt down there. They did put a bad game against the Arizona Cardinals. They are without their two starting offensive tackles. They lost their starting left guard. They lost their nose guard. Anybody who watched today's game would tell you Montez Sweat is 100% is lying to you. He took himself out of the game a couple times.
Notice that.
Because his leg was sore.
He pointed that out.
Right, so Brisker is out. Kyler Gordon came back. Caleb Williams is in a little bit of a regression, which all young quarterbacks go through. Mm-hmm. And like you're saying, David, can they get that? That's why you hire all these guys. Can they get them moving back in the right direction? That's why, guys, go on ChicagoBears.com. Tell me how many fitness experts they have on staff.
13.
Get these guys healthy, please.
At least.
Get them healthy, please. Get them back moving in the right direction. We need these guys. There's a reason they're starting. We said all year, if they lost Darnell Wright, if they lost Andrew Billings, if they lost Montez Sweat, if they lost Braxton Jones, if they lost Tevin Jenkins, they'd be in trouble. Mm-hmm. Guess what happened today? They were in trouble against a really bad football
team. Because they lost all those guys.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'll say this. If they go and beat the Packers, am I all happy again? No.
Are you going to call that?
I'll let you know when I wake up Sunday morning.
Will you let me know before I get in
five
my
more,
manual app?
Five more IPAs.
I'll let you know. But no, what I'm saying, if they beat them in a certain way, like if they beat them defensively and have a bunch of takeaways and the offense looks terrible and they put up 16 points and win 16-10.
That's a no.
I'm not happy.
Okay. So what if they bust out for 35 points offensively?
Well, then, is that Thomas Brown calling the plays?
Well, if they bust out for 35 points offensively, probably somebody else is calling the
exactly,
plays.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Let's go back to the season, a quick one before we break. Matt is on the south side and had a very interesting encounter this morning at Soldier Field. Good morning, Matt. Welcome to The Score.
Good afternoon. How are we doing?
It is afternoon, but it's been a long day. Thank you.
I caught you on the technicality. Hey, so everybody's talking about the game. The game was the game. We all saw it. We can diagnose it. We can blame injuries if we want. I find that to be dull and boring. Every team has injuries. I want to tell you guys about my my conversation with George this morning, George McCaskey, that is, while I was tailgating in the red lot slash south lot. So I've been, I'm a teenager getting older. What's that?
No, go ahead. Holden's being funny.
Yeah, so I've had tickets, season tickets, for about 23 years now. We're typically in the south lot. George comes through there typically once, twice a year. When my friends and my tailgating partners see him before I do, they encourage me often to go over there and talk to him because most people are glad-handing and they want to get a picture. He's kind of a celebrity. I'm fine with that, but when I get a minute with them, I like to spill a little bit of the truth. And most years, most times this has happened, he listens. He's very polite. He's there. I have to be very polite. Security always, they're close by or they'll tell you in advance, make sure you're cool, be respectful, and I always am. Today was the first time ever that George actually snipped back at me. When I asked him, he asked me how I was doing. He said he remembered me, and I'm sure he does. Again, I've met him multiple times. And I said, George, are you sure? I said, because it feels like a bit of a hamster wheel. I said, are you sure that the people in there, and I pointed towards the stadium, and I said, are you sure that management is the right team, folks to be turning this thing around once and for all? And he said, absolutely. Are you? Are you not? And I said, no, George. Again, hamster wheel. I said, we're having the conversation. I said, stick around for a few minutes. Talk to people, not just pictures. Talk to people, and they will all tell you. You guys are people accuse them sometimes of being inconsistent. I disagree. I find them terribly consistent. They always have a backwards formula. We can try to diagnose the team. We can try to figure out why they have a terrible offensive line again. But the simple fact is, they, the McCaskies, the ownership, are the common denominator in all of the failures. Now, you could say that's superstition or that's, you know, they have nothing to do with the team. Is it just bad luck then? Are they just unlucky? The simple fact is.
Thanks a lot, Matt. Appreciate the anecdote from the encounter with George McCaskey. And we totally understand
I've been skipped at by
your
George
frustration.
At the ticket office, right?
Yeah.
When you go up and get your tickets back.
If you have a relationship with George McCaskey, you've probably been snipped at.
I know what that feels like.
I know. Olin is going to abstain from this conversation for obvious reasons.
I've been snipped at many a times.
Only one of us at this
point. But to Matt's point, right, and David, me and you always go back and forth to have a good time about the article that was written on me. I said these things while I was in the Bears locker room.
You did?
While I was in the Bears uniform. Yeah. Right? Like, these are things we know. So here's the thing. They're not going anywhere. Can the people in the building overcome it? That's the point. But you need strong leadership, and you need guys who are moving in the right direction and know what they're doing. Pat, you know better than anybody how strong the leadership has to be in the building to overcome the culture in the building.
Yes. And then what is George's record since he's taken over?
They've not been to the playoffs. I'll tell you that. They've not won a playoff. Well, they've been to the playoffs. They have not won a playoff game.
Yeah, there we go.
I will correct myself because that is the reality, and that is something he knows all too well. Mm-hmm. When we come back, Kevin Byard was the latest player to hint that Matt Eberflus has lost the locker room, and we will hear from Caleb Williams at the podium. You're listening to the post-game show, the Great Clips post-game show, presented by Sony Pictures, Wonderverse, Chicago, and TimberTech Decking and
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Railing, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Guys in this locker room still believe in this coaching staff.
I'm not going to go there. At the end of the day, we got to play better, and we got to win.
Live from Jared Payton's flagship on the Fox in St. Charles, we're back with more of the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Brought to you in part by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be.
Welcome back to the Great Clips postgame show presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago and TimberTech Decking and Railing. David Haw, in for Mullet, Patrick Manley, Olin Krutz talking about the Bears' 19-3 loss to the Patriots. That was Kevin Byard. Kevin Byard not going to go there in asking when asked about Matt Eberflus losing the team. And let's hear it again because I think he talked fast. And if you missed it, listen to the way that he says it and what he won't say and what that says by not saying anything.
Guys in this locker room still believe in this coaching staff?
I'm not going to go there. At the end of the day, we got to play better, and we got to win.
All right, guys, you're both members of the media. You know what members of the media will do with that answer. They will look at that and say, the easiest thing in the world to do is to say, we believe in our coaching staff. We believe in our head coach. We are going through a tough time, and we will get through this. He didn't say that, so we're going to jump to conclusions. Are they fair conclusions to jump to?
Olin, I'll answer first real quick. Just who I am as a player, I'm always going to say I defend my coach.
Okay.
That's just me, what I would say all the time, no matter what, even if I didn't. There were times, and I'll be honest with you, when Mark Trestman was my coach my last year, I always had his back when I played there. I didn't when I sat next to Spiegel in 2014 in his last year, but I'm always going to have my coaches back. I'm always going to say that. Even if I don't believe it 100%, I'm never going to let anybody else know that. I just think that if you don't do that, that can start the crumbling of a team.
Yeah, I don't, honestly, and you guys have heard me call out a lot of guys this week about the things said. I think what he's saying is he's not even going to touch that question. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't even want to be a part of it, right? Because they were answering every question for weeks, right?
Maybe he's doing the right thing.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's what he's trying to do there. It may come off wrong. I know what he's saying, but in my opinion, that was more like, nah, I'm not even going to, like, you know what I mean? Like, we all got to get better. Mm-hmm. And I know what you're saying, Pat. I just, they are all right now in a place where no matter what you say, you're wrong.
Right.
Because you can't look like that on film. You can't look like that when you play games. You can't give up the Hail Mary. You can't lose to the Cardinals like that. You can't lose to the Patriots like that. No matter what they say right now, we will poke holes in it. They are not a good football team. Mm-hmm. They are not playing good football. The young quarterback is struggling. Everybody here, so much excitement for that number one pick. The best wide receiver group we've ever seen. The best skill players we've ever seen. Now we're watching an offense that we know all too well.
Let me ask you this, Olin, because last week you commented on when we hear from the guys who we heard from, they weren't necessarily from winning programs or have playoff experience. Kevin Byard is maybe a different breed. He's been a very successful NFL player. He's closer to the end of his career than he is the peak of his career. And I just wonder, when he speaks as often as he does about the state of affairs at House Hall, and he's been here, relatively speaking, about 5 minutes, do you take into consideration that fact, or do you think, okay, NFL veteran, he is going to be candid and honest and transparent, so you respect him more? Because I don't know what to make of it. He's not having a great year, at least physically. He's not the tackler that I think he had been earlier in his career, and I wonder about a guy having a disappointing year, being as vocal as he has been about the state of affairs at House Hall.
Yeah, I think it's a great question, and I think first I want to explain where I'm coming from when I talk about these guys who I think talk, who haven't, who when I look at their record, they not that they haven't been to the playoffs, David. None of them have a winning season.
Okay, right? Yeah, good correction.
So here's the thing. I always talk about, I don't know if Pat agrees with me here, but I talk about, it took me a long time to learn how to win in the NFL. And I thought I was actually a worse football player when I knew how to win football games. When I knew the, and when I talk about that, I talk about, okay, when you're going through walkthrough, I'm paying attention to the details in walkthrough, the blitz. My focus is always there during the week, especially during important situations. I'm always talking to guys about, okay, remember now, on third down, this is the protection we're going to run. This is how we got to pick the guy up. There's just little things that win football games that you start to pick up on during the week, and the way you win football games and the way you fit into a football team to help them win, okay? So, yes, I think Kevin Byard understands that when I listen to him talk. I think Mercedes Lewis understands that when I listen to him talk, right? But they don't have a lot of guys on this football team who have done a lot of winning, especially the younger guys. And here's where the leadership has to come from. It has to come from guys in their prime who can still play high-level football. That's where the winning leadership needs to come from. And the Bears are looking for guys like that. And here's the thing about winning football teams. They usually have guys in their locker room who have played there for 10-plus years, who understand the culture of the city, the culture of the team, and they know, because winning in the NFL and winning on certain teams are totally different. The way you win in Chicago is different than the way you win for the Los Angeles Rams. And that is a fact.
Oh, for sure. And then let me go back to this. What you said, Alon, that's a great point about when he said, I'm not going to go there. And we talked earlier that there was so much noise coming from inside that became outside noise. Maybe he is the leader trying to take that noise away by saying, I'm not going there. That's not a talking
point.
Look
at it, yeah.
Let's not even bring that up.
And I don't mean to cut you off. No. I will say this, though. Playing in Nashville.
A little different.
It's totally different.
Oh, totally different.
He
had a year in Philadelphia, didn't finish it. Yeah. And I think that Philadelphia to Chicago is a better comparison than maybe Nashville to Chicago and what you're used to.
I walked on the field, David. When you walk on the field in Chicago, not only do you have 30 to 40 writers there and national, but you have Hall of Fame guys, Dan Pompey. You have guys like Brad Biggs who are hawks. They're going to find any information they can. Right, you're going to hear about it all day. I walked on the field in New Orleans. There was one media guy there. One. Right? And no one there was a Hall of Fame national writer.
Right.
Playing here is totally different than playing in other places.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
And the assembled Bears media was there post-game at Soldier Field when Caleb Williams went to the microphone. This is what Caleb Williams had to say following the Bears' 19-3 loss.
That's one of the struggles offensively today. I'd say it first starts with me. I had about two or three plays, in key moments of situational ball that it didn't click in my head. One was taking two or three sacks in situations where we were able to get a field goal attempt, and then I put us out of field goal range, not throwing the ball out of bounds or over one of my wide receivers' heads or dirting and things like that. And then the other one, which should have handed the ball off to Dre. Instead, I threw it to DJ. Saw the safety coming out the sky. Thought I'd get it to DJ, and I know we had two blockers over there, and DJ could spring it and go run for a good distance, and wasn't the right decision. Definitely, this game is a lot to learn from myself. Just speaking on some of the situational things. Obviously, there's a few passes. Obviously, every game that you wish you could have back and things like that. But I think situationally, this game was a great learning experience for me with some of these situations that I could have done better for sure. And then other than that, I'd say we just got to get better with execution. I think regardless of whether the play is good, bad, indifferent, whether we have people down or anything like that, we got to go out and execute. We got to do better with that. Whether it's penalties, whether it's negative plays, and speaking on that, a negative play like I threw to DJ is what I'm talking about. So I think it starts there, and then from there, it's hard to stop offenses when you do those things.
When you talk about things not clicking in, could some of that be like the internal clock on those first two sacks and just holding on to the ball too long, maybe not processing it fast enough? Is that?
No, I was went to Cole for one of them. Went to Cole, and that's the first read. It's only a 5-yard route, and so 5 yards doesn't take much time. And so the second read, once I saw the, I believe it was safety or nickel fly down on Cole, we had Keenan returning, and it's only a 5-yard route again. And so those don't take much time. It just so happened that, somebody won on the defensive side, and, I could have done better throwing the ball out of bounds in that situation. Just knowing before the snap and having a better understanding of where we are on the field is what needs to process throughout, before the snap. And then other than that, no, I only went through two reads in that situation, and should have thrown a ball out of bounds because we were at the kick line.
Caleb Williams, after one of the toughest starts of his rookie season at Soldier Field following the 19-3 loss to the Patriots. We will get Pat's and Olin's reaction when we come back on the Great Clips postgame show presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago and TimberTech Decking and Railing right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
I say it first starts with me. I took had about two or three plays in key moments of situational ball that it didn't click in my head. Two was taking two or three sacks in situations where we were able to get a field goal attempt, and then I put us out of field goal range, not throwing the ball out of bounds or over one of my wide receivers' heads or dirt and things like that.
Welcome back to the Great Clips postgame show presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago and TimberTech Decking and Railing. That was Caleb Williams postgame after the Bears' 19-3 loss to the New England Patriots. We got to thank everybody here. We have to thank everybody here at the flagship on the Fox in St. Charles for what they did in terms of hospitality, having us here. Also, our friends at Circus Sports Illinois for having us out here. Circus Sports Illinois, sports betting the way it should be. And this is the way you want to watch a football game. They took care of us. It was
great
to see.
But not that football game.
Not a bad football game.
You don't want to watch that. You expect more people staying, celebrating. I think everybody went home because they're a little
depressed. If you're going to watch a bad football game, though, you'd like to watch it here.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Well, any football game I'd like to watch here. Yeah, let's put it
Before we wrap it up, guys, what was your reaction, each of you, to what we heard from Caleb Williams, who, unfortunately, is now getting more experience in how to handle losses?
Yeah, he sounds, the one thing that he always says, it starts with me. I appreciate that as the quarterback, and it does. That's the hardest position of all sports. I just wonder, how coached is he? Mm-hmm. Or is it really sincere?
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing I'm just
almost
curious
too
about.
Smooth.
It is too smooth. And okay. But he does it well. And I don't know what goes on in the locker room afterwards. How's the message going on between players and him as well? I'm curious. When you hear DJ talk about them and they rib each other and they're not on the same page, why aren't they on the same page yet? Mm-hmm. I don't get that. And then is he being treated like a veteran Pro Bowler in there? If I'm in that locker room, I would still want my rookie quarterback, who is the number one pick, who is hopefully my future.
He's a captain.
To still be treated a little bit
he's
like a
captain.
Rookie. That he's not treated bigger and better than Keenan Allen.
Can you treat
Montez
a captain
Sweat.
Like a rookie?
Sure you can.
Okay. I asked this because I don't know.
There's eight of them.
But they made
then
him a captain.
Then he's eight.
Before he took his first NFL snap, he was a captain.
Yeah, you guys remember when I went down to New Orleans, and there was no offseason, so I didn't get to New Orleans till August. And I remember they went to Emeril Lagasse's restaurant for their captain's dinner. That's how big Sean Payton used to do. And we said they served a meal. And I was sitting with the offensive line. I told them, I said, thank goodness I don't have to be a captain this year, right? It's just like I don't want to deal with all that nonsense. I just had got there for like 3 days. Sean announced me as a captain at the dinner right after I said that. So all I'm saying is,
what heck of a meal.
All I'm saying is, maybe they didn't take votes on Caleb's captainship. Okay, right. Like sometimes the coach picks the captain. Mm-hmm. Another thing is this, like Pat is saying, if you could take the responsibility, he did push back. Somebody asked him, what about the plays you held the ball too long? And he said, I don't feel like I did that. Or something like that was his answer. Maybe you're seeing a little bit of the frustration that the other players have with him there from that answer. Because I can show him on film if Caleb wants. I can show him on film where he held the ball too long. And here's what I'm saying. Are you taking the same responsibility in the building?
The way that receivers have responded to him publicly, mm-hmm. or responded about that question maybe publicly, the lack of chemistry, makes me wonder if what you're saying is true. Mm-hmm. Because if there is a disparity between public Caleb and private Caleb, that will create friction. Or you know that veterans who are respected and proven and experienced will see through that, and it will bother them in a way that we can't really – you can identify with,
well,
but
that's what
others
I'm saying.
Can't.
Pat and I, you know, close to 30 years of NFL mm-hmm. football, close to it. And we will start to sniff some things out, mm-hmm. right, when we start to watch things and hear people talk and say, okay – what is actually going on there? And we're just guessing. We don't know. And all of us are looking for answers for this Chicago Bears football team. And we're just trying to find where is the disconnect when you hear them talking. Where is the disconnect with their offense?
It just doesn't sound right. You're talking about sniffing it out. Just all the answers when, you know, Keenan doesn't talk a lot, but DJ does. I want it to sound like they have the kids, I'm saying quote unquote, the kids back. It doesn't sound that way. They talk, okay, nice about we're working on it, we're doing this and all that. But you also, he's still a rookie. And they don't talk about him like he's their younger brother. They talk about him like it just seems like he's treated a little different there. So I wonder if this is part of the problem. I wonder if this is the start of it. I wonder if we really start to figure out that there's maybe a disconnect between the receivers, Caleb in the offense, Shane Waldron, all that kind of stuff.
Real quickly, because we don't have much time, but how surprised – will you be if the Bears take the field against the Packers having made no changes to their coaching infrastructure?
You talking about these Bears?
Same old Bears.
Yeah, these old Bears, old not stuff. So much, but I would just like to see something change. I just think the last 3 weeks, it's historically bad. I went through the numbers at the beginning of third downs and points and all that stuff against bad defenses, and you're losing games on offense. This was supposed to be the year that it was a turning point. They were going to score points. We were talking about – Olin always talked about finding points under rocks. Where are they finding points? We thought they found the points. They did for a little while, and now it's not so good.
Would I be surprised? No. I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't make a change, and I wouldn't be surprised if they did. Right? They're at that point right now where the last two films are unacceptable. And then we go back to, like we talked about, Shane Waldron's history. Coming into this season,
mm-hmm.
and if I am Ryan Poles and I meet with players, and they have no faith in him, I have to make a change.
He's Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley, and that is the my thank you list starts with you guys. Thank you for being such a
not even
good
on
co-host.
Thanksgiving. You're a good man, David. Man,
it was a lot of fun.
It was a good day.
Yeah,
you're a warrior this week, man. By the way, just
yes,
want to pat
were.
You on the back. I've been a warrior, Mully. We hope you get better, buddy.
Yes, we do, Mully. Tomorrow morning, 5:30 to 10, Mully and Haw show. Thanks also to a list of people, beginning with Dustin Rhodes, who helped us get everything on the air, and all of our guests pre and post game. Tyler Butabaugh did a great job post game. Alex Kuhn, pregame producer. Rich Wyatt, who set us up. I don't know what time he got here. I think last night, probably. Evan Thomas, Connor O'Donnell kept us on the Twitch stream. Ryan Porth, I think he was involved in some way, shape, or form. And also Mitch Rosen, the big boss. Thanks for putting everything together. And also, right, the
is Mitch going to make a change? That's the question.
Is Mitch going to make a change?
Is Mitch going to make a change?
Can he upgrade this show?
Hasn't he made enough? Thank you to everybody at Flagship on the Fox in St. Charles. This has been a great experience. And our friends at Circus Sports Illinois. Bears lose to the worst team in football, but we talked through it. 19-3 losers. It was a lot of fun. Thank you for listening to 670 The Score. Anthony Herron is next. You've been listening to Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.